You are listening to the Cripescast. How you doing, everyone? We are sponsored by Jolly Good Soda, and I am your host, Charlie Behrens. This week, I've got my good buddy, Leroy Butler, coming back on the show. It's been a huge week for him because he got the news that he'll be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton this summer. Only a very small percentage of NFL athletes ever make it to the Hall of Fame. And so it's a huge honor for him. It's an honor for me to talk to him after the fact, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, it's just been a crazy journey for Leroy. He grew up in the housing projects of Jacksonville, Florida. You know, he was met with a lot of, you know, economic adversity, racial adversity. And not only that, he was also born with a physical disability that left him in leg braces for much of his childhood. So to go from that to, you know, literally going from leg braces to being the guy who invented the Lambeau Leap, and now he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. It's an insanely inspiring story. Again, I'm lucky he came on to share it, and also just lucky to have Leroy as a friend. You know, we've done a few videos over the years. Has it been years? No, I think the first time I spoke with him was actually last March, somewhere around there. He was on the show one time before. And since then, we've become friends. We've collaborated on a fishing video. He and my dad and myself, we went out and did some fishing on Lake Winnebago. And then we did another leap video all about how we invented the Lambeau Leap a couple weeks back. And he's just been so nice. When I was promoting my book, he was pushing it out there. He did an excerpt in the book. In the Midwest Survival Guide for one of his recipes. And by the way, Leroy's got a bunch of cooking books out there, too. You should check those out. And what I really like about Leroy is that, like, even when he was a player, he would pop into churches with Reggie White and just sit down, and he wouldn't tell anyone, but he would just pop in. He would go shopping at the Pick and Save. He would meet people, and he still does it. He still does these meet and greets at Pick and Save. He'll sign anything. He's just always willing to give you the shirt off his back, and he'll even sign the shirt. So really good dude. We had a great conversation. We didn't just talk about the Hall of Fame. We also went into some of the videos I mentioned, sort of his thoughts on diversity in the upper echelons of the NFL, like in ownership positions and coaching positions. Talked about the Super Bowl a little bit. And a bunch of other stuff. So I'm excited for you to hear this conversation. I had a lot of fun with it. And what else is going on? Well, still on tour on the never-ending Midwest Survival Guide tour, which is so much fun. It's fun to see all of you come out and hang out in person, spend so much time connecting with fans over social media or whatever. But in person is just a whole other deal. It's I don't know. I just really like it. I like seeing you guys at the meet and greets and talking, connecting, and stand up is one of my favorite things to do. So, last week, where were we? That's the biggest problem, is I have a hard time remembering where I've been. Oh, I did the shows. Is Tampa the last show I did? Oh, I'm losing my mind. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We did the Naples shows. Yes. And then after Naples, I can't remember anything anymore. Charlie, how fun were those shows if you can't remember a damn thing? No, they were very fun. This week, though, just forget about the past. Let's focus on the future, Charlie. This week, we are going to Salt Lake City and Denver. And Dude Dad is performing with us in Denver. Got a couple shows there. All those shows are sold out. But shows coming up, we got Boston and Portsmouth. You can get tickets for both of those. Those will be not this week, but the following week. Then after that, I don't know, but you can find all the dates on CripesCast.com. That's where I go to see what I'm doing that week, because I lost too many brain cells over the years. Gosh darn it, Brandy. I'll tell you what. Yeah, Brandy. Okie doke. So, also, of course, I want to remind all of you to Follow the Cripes Cast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, even YouTube. We put up the full Cripes Cast up on YouTube, so follow us there. And thanks to all of you for rating the podcast, leaving a comment. I'll read a couple. This one's titled, Not Even From the Midwest. Love this podcast. Not even from the Midwest and thoroughly enjoy the show. Really appreciate the diverse guests, perspectives, and opportunities to learn and laugh. Oh, there is a name. That's from Line PBJ. I hope that stands for peanut butter jelly. Huge fan of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I am actually grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I've said it on this podcast before, but that is my only specialty from a cooking standpoint. Here's another one. Charlie is smarter than you think. Yes, thank you, cats for Ange Birds. Thanks for that comment. I love it. Was it a backhand compliment? I don't think so. I think I'm just smarter than you think. I'm really not, but it's nice that I, you know, push that out there. Charlie is a wonderful interviewer and really puts his journalistic skills into his podcast. I realized how knowledgeable and thoughtful he truly is. He is able to capture an interview and sync with his guests. I'm just a person in the central U.S. who found him on Facebook and YouTube. He keeps me smiling and reinvigorated me to follow the Packers and take a trip to Wisconsin to freeze my toes off. Thanks, Charlie. No, thank you, cats for Ange Birds. And that's not the only thing you're going to freeze off when you come to Wisconsin, because it is a little chilly here this time of year. Anyway, let's see here. Is that it? Is that everything I'm... I also want to mention tomorrow, or when are you listening to this? I guess you'll listen to this on Wednesday. So Wednesday evening, we are doing a fan jolt, and all the proceeds are going to CVI, that's Center for Veterans Issues. So Wednesday the 16th at 6 p.m. Central Time, hop on the fan jolt, and you get this opportunity to sort of jolt on, and then I talk to you. I'm doing it with Leanne Morgan. We're doing a co-jolting session. All her proceeds are going to charity. All my proceeds are going to charity. So a fun thing to do. So check that out Wednesday night if you want. And yeah, that's it. All right, let's dive in. This is my second time having Leroy Butler on the podcast. I'm so honored. Enjoy our conversation. Walk me through this experience. What's it like when you...
My God.
Yeah, where does it begin? Obviously, it begins with you getting nominated. And you've been nominated for how many years now?
Like three. Three. One of the toughest parts, though, Charlie, was people you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, where'd my phone call go? You know, I was waiting by my phone and then... I'm kidding. I'm not... You know, I'd like to just be the 83rd person that you told. And I think I was close to that. So that's all that matters.
You was closer than you think, trust me. Yeah. Because one day I talked to you and I knew, but I said to myself, I don't want it to leak out, probably because of, I think Tom Brady told somebody about his retirement.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody leaked it. And, you know, when you talk about retirement or something like that, you should do it, not somebody else.
Right. No. And some people are a steel trap. Not me. I'm more like that little scoop you use when you're ice fishing to clear the ice out of the hole. You know, I'm a sieve. So you can't tell me nothing.
I think you would have kept this. If you... Just don't tell Uncle John or your dad. Your dad probably don't even know how to use social media. He started a Twitter account. Leroy's in the Hall of Fame. He's my dad. That's why I say I can't tell him. But that's the hardest part, is not telling people you know, because you don't want to lie to your friends and family. Right. So you just kind of get them off of it. But it was my wife knew a couple weeks.
Yeah, I read an article about that. So who told her?
Well, what happened was I was at for the San Francisco game for the Packers. I do the Packer tours.
Yeah.
That was on a Friday. They played on Saturday. We're doing the tour, and she's with me. She disappears. I'm like, where is she going? So I'm doing the tour. So then I saw her way down on the suites level on the phone. So I say, well, and she just, whenever she give me the finger, it's something important. Like, not deep finger, you know. One minute.
The other.
She's really religious. I don't even think she knows what the finger means. But she said, so I'm thinking, I have anxiety. I'm thinking it's about my son. So now I'm inside panic. I got 43 people staring at me. So I got to be myself. Yeah. So, and when she does this, like everything is good, all uh-huh. clear. I said, then I got back to myself. She knew then they called her.
Oh.
So she knew the Friday before the San Francisco game. So the game goes on. We go. She never told me, never gave me no hints or anything. So that's how long. That's what it started off.
And so why then? Because she was surprising you, right? That's why she didn't tell
yeah,
you,
I think
obviously.
They have a new guy, Jim Porter. And yeah. Jim is the guy before him used to do the knocks.
Yeah.
He would, Mr. Baker would come to your, we'd go to a hotel, he'd either knock on your door or call you. Think about that kind of anxiety.
Yeah, right.
I know, right? But Jim didn't really want to do that. He wanted it to be about the players. So he was trying to figure out a way to get, that's when it got to Woodson. So throughout that time, they said, well, let's get Woodson to do it. And, you know, defensive back, he went in last year. So it would be a big deal. And plus, Leroy would be surprised. He's probably thinking somebody else would do, or even me, but it would be his team, you know, one of his teammates. So it was awesome.
That's cool. And then, so how did Woodson do it?
You know, they went somewhere and met him. Now, remember, you got, and you've seen this. Well, when we do our skits, we only got one camera guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
That's my guy. That's my guy. I love
yep,
him.
Yep.
He shoots it. Your guy who
Max.
Did the Max. Yeah. Max shoots it like it's 50 people. He gets every angle. He's falling on the ground. They ain't yep. doing this. They got to. No. I mean, I'd rather have Max do it, to be honest, because he'll make sure I look really good.
Yeah, he does a good job of that.
50 people. With cameras, they're following, they're driving up to the house. So I didn't really know at first, but the reason why they got me because my wife knows I'm neurotic and just all over. I can't have my son late to school.
Yeah.
So my daughter calls, can you take me? I said, oh, okay. Well, that means I got to get up really early. So I always grab my favorite sweatshirt when I'm rushing. That's my Packer Polo, the military.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice
one. Started one that I wear. Grant threw it on. So I'm rushing. It's like 5:30 in the morning. Nothing's up but burglars and roosters. It's dark. I'm like, you'll do anything for these kids. Why don't you have somebody take them and you sleep? But I can't, especially my son.
Yeah.
So I go over there, I grab the kids, and they're moving slow. I'm like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Then I forgot that I had to do an interview with a young man, Mark, from Racine Journal Times. I forgot because I was thinking about the kids. So he shows up. I'm like, oh my goodness. So we come in, we're at the kitchen table doing the interview, just a normal interview. And I hear bam, bam, bam on the door. And when you hear that, either it's the feds, the Amazon will just leave something.
Yeah.
The police will just come in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an ex-girlfriend or something. None of those check the boxes. So some said, okay, I got up. And Charlie, I looked out the peephole.
Uh-huh.
I saw Woodson, but I didn't see all the cameras.
Uh-huh.
So I said, yeah, Woodson doing at my door. Had it been Brett Favre, they come to give me a jacket. It would have registered because, you know, Brett's my guy. But Woodson being another defensive back, that was platinum. Because I opened the door. When I saw them, it was a feeling over me, Charlie, that was so emotional that you really don't know how you'll ask. But I told my wife this. I understand what women feels like when you want guys to propose. Mm-hmm. Every year you're a finalist and he never does. And you're thinking, and you get around your friends, you should be married, just like people say, you should be in.
Yeah.
So when he finally does it, and your family and friends, and he proposes to you, that's what it felt like. And I got emotional, but it's my nephew, because I said something, if you saw it, I said, I got to go find my Bible, because it's like a calming thing for me. My nephew made me a shirt say, somebody go get my Bible or something like that. And he FedEx it to me. It was funny. So I was very surprised. I didn't have any shoes on. It was 11 degrees.
That's still very Wisconsin to open your door. 11 degrees, no shoes on.
Exactly.
You have socks at least?
Yeah, I had socks on, but I couldn't feel my. I was just in awe of what was happening. Then I saw the cameras. I saw like 50 maxes staring at me.
Yeah.
You know, like, and these people, now Charlie, these people are from like Texas and all over the country. They got to keep this a secret.
Yeah.
So had they hired a crew from Wisconsin, you know, it mattered.
Oh, it would have gotten out. Someone would have had one too many brandies at the bar and been like, guess what I'm doing tomorrow? We're going over to Leroy's house. He's in the Hall of Fame.
You're going to be walking around with your book like, hey.
Oh, look at that. Look
this
at
my
that.
Guy. I'm leaking it. He won't care. We will care. What are you talking about?
By the way, I will say, I got to make sure I mention, Midwest Survival Guide has one of your recipes in it. And if you like that recipe, you got to get one of Leroy's many amazing cookbooks. And where can they get those? Let's get the plug in early. Where can they get your...
Just go to pickandsave.com.
Okay.
It's really easy, right? Pickandsave.com. Or you can go to LeroyButlerInc.com too. We should give away some Hall of Fame stuff.
Yeah, we should do that. Let's
do it. Wait. After Dad and Uncle John.
Oh, yeah.
If we give away something and they didn't get it, we're in trouble. But after the family...
Yeah,
let's give it away like a football. We'll figure it out on your Instagram.
Yeah, that sounds great. That'd be awesome. And I'll throw in a book too or something like that.
Hey.
Yeah, now we got it. Hey, what did Charles Woodson say to you when you...
He said something to the fact, Roy Lee. That's because that's my nickname.
Yeah, I want to ask
Welcome to the Hall of Fame. You made it. And I just thought about my mom because I think people sometimes when you get an award,
yeah,
you try to get everything in before they play the music and play you off.
Right.
You know, like if it's an Academy or an Emmy, like what you just don't know. So do you have something ready? This is organic. But my mom, I remember her telling me about how important it was to be the same person if you ever make it to the Hall of Fame or win a Super Bowl. And I got very emotional because it just hit me because she passed away like 5 years ago. And we had these discussions about making it because I was a semifinalist years ago and I was never getting to that level. And then it was, I'm telling you, Charlie, because you know how I feel about your parents. I love your parents like they're mine. When your parents say they're proud of you, it makes me, and I just felt her saying that. And that's why I watched the leak video of me and you.
Yeah.
Because your dad's in it. I wish more people would do stuff with their parents. Your dad probably think I'm weird because I love him. Cause I just love that connection.
No, my dad, loves you right back.
Because he's probably thinking why Leroy keeps mentioning me. And this is why I love parents. And my mom was everything. And she told me I'd make it. But you know, you're thinking about the Hall of Fame, Charlie. It's only 375 guys in there.
Yeah.
Only 170 are living. And then you think about 32,000 people played this game and growing, it's pretty remarkable.
It's absolutely incredible. And your mom, too, I don't remember if we talked about this or I read this, but when you were a kid, it looked like the odds were stacked against you to ever make it to this level. And you were a Cowboys fan back in the day.
Yes.
And then they... Would they lose the Super Bowl or did they lose a big game? And what happened? Take the story from
Man, you got a good memory. I'm Charlie, I'm such a huge Cowboy fan. I went up to Mel Blunt. He's like 6'4". Okay, 6'4". He's a cornerback for the Steelers. I went up to him this weekend and said, man, I hated you. He was like, why? I said, 'cause I was the biggest Cowboy fan ever. And the Super Bowl against the Steelers, that's the game when Roger Staubach threw it to Jackie Smith and he dropped it, which happens. I cried. I mean, I cried so hard and I got up under the bed. And my mom, she yelled on the bed, whether you're under bed or not, they still lost. That made me laugh because she gave me this humor. You know, because I was funny, kids wouldn't bully me because I was funny. So when I came out, she explained to me the ups and downs. She said, you're going to have some highs and lows. Poverty, you know, wearing hand-me-downs. It's hot. It's 100 degrees with no air conditioning. That's really losing. Losing a game, although it's the last one, you could play next year. And she explained all it to me. I was an early teenager, and I stopped crying. And she said, I like your passion, though. She said, some people are going to be upset, but to be so invested in the game that you're going to play one day. And that made me understand you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but be measured. And so she was basically, Charlie, giving me therapy, which I'm a big proponent of. When people have these low points, that's when I like to come in. Anybody can have a friend when you sign a $100 million Netflix deal like me, and you're going to sign one day. Yeah. Everybody going to want to be our friend. I mean, right. But what about now when we're doing the skits and all over Wisconsin doing stand up? Were you my friend then? She explained all that to me when I was young.
And then didn't she say that you could win a Super Bowl at some point?
Yes.
Yeah. And then
she said, wouldn't that be a great thing if somebody from the project won a Super Bowl? I was like, yes, yes, that'd be awesome. And then she just explained about the Hall of Fame. My mom was a reader. She read up on the Hall of Fame and when it started and where it was. And I think I was like 15 years old. So mom kind of knew how my life was going to end up. She was just telling me. Because she wanted to keep me focused, Charlie, because it was so many negative things. Crime, like I could say, poverty. My first shirt, as you know, is I'm going to the Salvation Army. I was like 8 or 9 years old. And all these toys are there, a bunch of toys. And I'm there with my mama's boy, so I'm right next to her. Because her and my dad got divorced when I was like 4. So she had to do everything. And my sister and brother take off and grab all these toys. The G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip. You weren't born with that toy.
I know. That's the number one toy. I know the deal, though. I know. We had a couple laying around. One of 12. We had all my uncle's toys.
And there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had tears in my eyes a little bit because I said, I didn't want toys. She said, what do you want? I said, I want that new shirt. And I go over, it was just a white t-shirt, but it had a tag. I never popped the tag and say it was new because I wore hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
And I put that shirt on and it changed my life.
Why?
Because I never had anything new, like new. If it was a shirt my brother wore on Monday when he got home, I would get that shirt and those pants, wash it in the sink and hang it up, let it dry, and I wore it the next day. And we did that for years. It never bothered me. And I know my mom couldn't afford it to buy everybody new stuff. So if you're the older kid, you get the newer stuff.
Yeah.
Because the younger kids, she buy it for us new, no one can wear it. The other kids can't because of the size. But if you buy it for them, we can eventually wear it.
Yeah.
I never had on a new shirt. And I wore it to school. My sister was like, she's like my manager because I was special needs. So she did everything for me. She put my braces on my legs, helped me with my crutches, just pushed me around. I couldn't get on the bus because I had to fold this little wheelchair thing up. And she was like, dude, you can't wear a white t-shirt for a school picture. That picture's permanent. I said, I'm wearing that shirt. I had already worn it 200 times. Yeah, little jelly on it right there.
Yeah.
I'm wearing this shirt. So she said, okay, let me at least wash it. Because I was afraid, anxiety. Uh-huh. If you wash it, it'll shrink and it won't fit me anymore. So it was sometime, which is disgusting. It's like 7 days, never washed. I used to hide it from my mom so she didn't wash it. She said, where's your shirt? I said, you can't lie to your mom. She did not wash it. She said, okay, at least let me spray it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, but it was clean because I would wear it inside out, keep it clean. But my sister washed it and I wore it. And matter of fact, it's in my book. I'll get you a picture of it. And that's my first shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So what did it mean to you? You think that shirt, was it just that idea of having something of your own?
Exactly. Yeah. This is mine. I got it from the Salvation Army. And I said to myself, no, my sister. She said, one day when you're famous, you have to see that picture. Because, And I couldn't afford to buy the pictures to come home. Mm-hmm. Could they have them, like, get to buy these packages?
Yeah.
And I couldn't afford it. But my teacher, Miss Brown, she knows me. She's a special ed teacher. And the pictures were in my desk. And child, I started crying. I was like, is this a joke? Because I knew I couldn't afford them. But you take the picture and then you send them off and they come back and they're in, you pick, do you want an 8x10, 5x7?
Yeah.
Miss Brown did that. She took my packet because I didn't fill out one. She filled it out, get the pictures for me. But everybody has to take a picture for, I think, for like the yearbook or something.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And she put them in there and I saw that picture. That was the happiest day of my life. And my sister, she was crying. My mom cried. How did you get out? I said, I didn't ask her to buy them because she told me never to ask. And she said, one day when you're famous, you got to show people this picture. I said, definitely. Definitely. I'll just never forget that.
And now, you know, put that picture side by side, you with that gold blazer on.
Hey.
You know? Hey.
Yeah. I may be one of those ones. You know how the pastor tells the deacon to come wipe his forehead because he's sweating and crying. Yeah. Somebody wipe my forehead. See, that's going to be emotional. This most.
And hearing where you came from, and you touched on it. I know we talked about this before, but for folks who don't know, growing up with special needs, what was that like? You mentioned the crutches and the braces. You just let people know what that is?
My feet were so pigeon-toed. It was like this, and it's supposed to be like this, so you can run and jump. And it was so difficult for me because they were telling my mom, well, you know, we don't know. We just got these corrective shoes you could put on. They weren't working. My feet would still do this. And then they had those braces like Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
To kind of keep your legs straight. And you can't get them wet, so I couldn't go swimming like the other kids. I couldn't run and jump, and little league sports were out. But it was so difficult. On top of poverty, on top of crime, I mean, this place was, I think more people in Jacksonville, Florida, they are shocked that God chose me to navigate these tough waters, to just know where you're going. Because every time my grandmother thought I'd do something bad, she said, you're never going to make it to the NFL stealing cookies. Just ask. And she had a sign that says, take one. Come on, grandma. She can see my pocket like this. She said, just ask. Because I was her favorite because I couldn't, until this point, I couldn't go outside to run and jump. And she didn't want me out there because of the stray bullets, people drive by. I mean, you get shot, you know, you never know. So I would stay inside with her. She used to sell Avon. It's like a cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to fill out the forms for her because she had real bad arthritis. And she'd give me a quarter per one I did. And at 1 month, I had like $8. And that was, she was teaching me the value of working.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, just. And the other kids were dead broke, but they having fun outside. They dead broke. But I had $8, $9. My sister used to come, let me get $3. I got to go. I said, hey, grandma told me not to give my money to nobody. But I was joking. But I was just, because she was a teenager. I mean, I wanted to, I said, you can get whatever you want. And when she got her first check, she was an intern nurse.
Yeah, yeah.
Got her first check. It's the first time I ever saw a $100 bill. My sister cashed her check. And she showed it to me, and I got like, I started shaking. I was like, wow. And she says, yours. I said, what? She says, yours. Remember you gave me that $3 or $4 long time ago?
Oh, look at that. Interest.
I was crying. I know, right?
Yeah.
I was crying so bad. The money, it was in my hand. I wiped my face with the tears, and the money stuck to my face.
That's the kind of stuff you can't even invent.
I know, right? I'm like, and I never told that story. And I don't know if it was the money or is that she was like a mother coach figure to me. Because when I was able to do sports, she would take me because my mom had to work. And she'd give the coach that look like, you better not cut him.
Yeah. It's, I mean, between your sister and, you know, even your brother, you told me the last time that your brother gave up his spot on the team for you. Did I remember that correctly?
Man, you're good. My brother Michael means a lot to me because, Charlie, he was Aaron Rodgers. He was Brett Favre. He was Doug Williams, Warren Moon. He was the best quarterback in the city. I mean, he had an arm, throw it 75, 80 yards. He's 1 year older than me. And we were in the eighth and ninth grade school, Fort Caroline. And he was taking a test because he was getting ready to go to high school. So he couldn't be in the meeting until at the end. So they're giving out jerseys. And I'm just sitting there hoping I get one. And my brother comes in, him and some of the other guys that were going to make it because they were good. Coach gave him the jersey. So my brother kind of understand what's going on. He know what I want to do since I was a baby. I'm playing the NFL. And this is one of the leaps, right?
Yeah.
He came in there, and it hit him. Like, they got one jersey left, and it's just me and my brother. And Michael said, hey, coach, I'm not really trying to play football. I was just playing it for the girls.
Yeah.
Really, I'm full disclosure. My brother is a passion for him. I mean, he eats, sleeps, drinks, everything football. I'm good, but no, the team needs you. The team, this is the coach giving him the spirit. He said, no, the team needs my brother. He going to work hard. He going to do everything. I just, you know, and instead of debating with the coach, he just left. And the coach said, okay, you know, Mr. Butler, come on up. He gave me the jersey. I don't even know what number it was. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
And that was the start of my career in eighth grade, playing on an organized team, not in the inner city, but a school team.
Yeah.
The jerseys are better.
Yeah.
You have cheerleaders.
Yeah.
You know, the inner city league, you got like one cheerleader and she's tired. Yeah. You get cheered the whole time. The uniforms don't match, you know. But that changed my life. I told that story when I got married, when I did a toast to my brother, because I don't know what would have happened if I didn't make it, but some kind of way God put it in a position. If that was another player, that player wants to make it. But my brother is like, you know, because he went into the Army. He said, that's kind of the path I want to take. You want to play. And I said, why you do that? He said, you know why I did it. We're a very close family. We were very close. I really appreciate him doing that.
Well, it's cool to see the closeness of your family and how they, you know, they helped you. I mean, they were, in a lot of ways, when the braces came off your legs, it seems like they filled that place. And for a kid to go from the projects of Jacksonville with leg braces to be the guy who invented the Lambeau Leap, I mean, that's your movie right there, you know? I mean, it's just an incredible story. And it's great that you recount it and, you know, you never forget the people who helped you along the way, which is very cool to
Not at all. No, to I see. Mean, it's very important. Even my youngest brother, he went to the Air Force. He was amazing. He was smart. He's like a 4.37. I didn't know they go over 2.0, full disclosure.
Yeah.
he was so smart and he would help me. Because I couldn't read. He would help me. And he would help me just like say big words and what they meant. And it was all these words that was, if it was over like six letters, my anxiety kicks in and my brain is just like, well, I don't. He was pretty much the brainiac of the family. He was awesome.
Yeah. So now you're an inductee, you're the member of the class of 2022. So you got a speech prepared, you got to get that going. Is that stressing you out at all?
If you know me like you do, probably not, because I love to talk.
You, but, come on.
I know, right? But the way you got to do this now is going to be different because you have so much time.
Yeah.
And then you're going to do another interview where you can go as long as you want. You can thank everybody you want. So it'll be drill points. And I think my wife, if she wants to do it, which I hope she does, she's going to introduce me to the class. So she got a small speech that lasts a few minutes on video. And then I'll do my, I think it's going to be 8 to 10 minutes. And that goes fast. That goes fast. So, and here's the reason why I'm already prepared and it's already written. Because my mom used to tell me all the time, have two speeches. I think I was like 12. I said, Mom, what do you mean two speeches? Well, one speech is if you make an A, I'm going to ask you, how'd you do it? There's the speech.
Yeah.
The one other speech is going to be if you make a D, as in dog. Like, what happened? There's your speech. So I always thought about that. Be ready. Because when I didn't make it, you got to have something prepared to tell people, oh, you should have made it. You say this. When I made it, I say this. That's kind of part of my speech. So I've already had it ready. But when we met, I just wanted to know how much time.
Yeah.
But they got it all. I mean, Charlie, this is first class. If you want a prompter down there to remind you, they got it.
Oh, nice.
Clock. If you got, like me, I talk with keywords.
Yeah.
Like when we do our skits, you always tell me where to pick up where you are. Is a keyword, your last word. That's when I pick up.
Yeah, yeah.
They got people for that. They got about 5 people with headphones on. They want to make you look amazing.
Yeah.
So if I send it to them, they'll have it in a prompter or they'll have just like keywords to know. Because they don't want guys. I think last year, a couple of guys went on some tangents all over the place.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you don't want that.
Right.
I want to be respectful for the next guy. I don't want to bore people. I want to get in and out. I'll share it with you. I'll let you look at it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd love to take a look. Yeah, maybe I'll throw a joke in there, you know, if that which you can just completely ignore, you know.
Now, do you write me a joke?
Yeah, I'll write you some jokes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, don't back out now. We're recording it, right?
I'm not going to back out. No, you email that over to me. I'll punch
it up.
I'll
tell dad on you. No, I'm going to tell your mom. You're really in trouble.
By the way, we got to get you over for a Lent fish fry thing. As soon as Lent starts.
Yes.
Then, yeah, we got to do that. My mom is ready to roll for that. And my dad is too. They love you, by the way. Thanks for being. You're always very generous with your time and they appreciate the heck out of it. So
yeah, now I gotta get all the family's jerseys back to write HOF on them.
Don't say that too loud. My Uncle John will be tweeting you.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard when I saw that picture on Twitter of you guys, because he texts me. He's like, hey, how do I get a hold of Leroy for the jersey? And before I could get back to him, I see this picture of you two sitting next to each other on Twitter holding the jersey. I was like, Uncle John found a way. I didn't know he knew how to tweet, but apparently his daughter figured it out for him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I gave him my number. I told him where I am because I'm at Spectrum News One.
Yeah.
I say, Uncle John, he loves when I call him Uncle John. Instead of John. I say, come down. And he was early, which is great.
Yeah, it's good.
And I gave him the jersey, and I, because he's such a big fan, and I just appreciate, you know, I love family, and your family's been truly amazing to me, and it's a great connection. And so we definitely got to invite him over too.
Yeah.
So we'll have fun, because we've been looking forward to doing this for a while. So it's great timing, though.
It is. Hey folks, listen, dry January is over, okay? Spring is in not even close to full swing, but Jolly Good is there for whatever season you have. Actually, you heard it in this podcast, you will hear it in this podcast. Oh, it's a spoiler alert. Leroy tells me his daughter's favorite Jolly Good flavor, and we're going to send her some of that. But she's a huge Jolly Good fan, and you should be too, not just because they're the sponsor of this Cripes Cast, but because it's a great soda. And, you know, a lot of times when you get a sponsor for a podcast or whatever, they reach out because you get a certain number of followers and they want to, you know, kind of latch on to that in some way. That's not how it worked with Jolly Good or really any of my sponsors. But Jolly Good, I just naturally incorporated into the old-fashioned video. And they reached out after that, and they've been a sponsor ever since. And same with another sponsor of ours, Duluth Trading Company. I almost said Duluth Clothing Company, but you know, that, yeah, real good, Charlie. Screw up your sponsor name. No, but Duluth is another brand that, you know, I've been wearing this stuff, specifically the boxers, for a long, long time. And I even had a Duluth belt. I think that's been my go-to belt for coming up on like 5 years. It's nice when you can find a good belt. Anyway, Duluth is another great sponsor of the podcast. They sponsor a bunch of our videos as well. They were the reason that we got to go do that luge video last week, which if you haven't seen, check it out on the Charlie Barron's channels or whatever. But I actually went to Salt Lake City and I did the luge and I was bad at it and my elbow still hurts because of it. But it was a very fun video. And I think a funny video. So thanks to Duluth for being a great sponsor of us over the years. And they also have amazing, amazing clothes. And good for all seasons for, you know, if you're freezing your butt off in Wisconsin, it'll keep you warm. If it's hot out, well, they just cut off the legs. They got shorts, cargo shorts, sexy cargo shorts, might I add. So check them out, Duluth Trading Company. And finally, Manitowoc Minute store is, we just revamped it. And we got a bunch of stuff up there. If you like cribbage, we've got these really cool handmade cribbage boards. They're made in Milwaukee. We've got Stormy Cromer hats made in the UP. We've got socks now, which is, you know, kind of weird, but it's my mom's idea. And my mom runs all the merch, by the way. Any idea for merch, she's pushing it through, and she's got a vision. She does a great job. And so it's you know, Ope stuff, keep her moving, watch out for deer, whatever you want. We got koozies, and the nice thing is all of it's made in the U.S., which is not easy to do these days with supply chain and cost and everything. We certainly don't, we make probably a fraction of the money that we could make if we made it overseas, but think it's good to do that and support U.S. stuff. It's lower carbon footprint. It helps American businesses. It's good stuff. So check it out, mandawalkmint.com. You can also go to kripescast.com, click on the merch thing. All right, that's it. Let's get back to my conversation with the great, the Hall of Famer, Leroy Butler. You always have been so, and you right now, currently, every time I've been with you, anytime a fan's there, I mean, you throw... you roll out the red carpet for him. You offer him jerseys, signature. You know, you go to the pick and saves and you do the meet and greets, yeah, and stuff. And but that's not something new. That's something you've been doing all the time or your whole career. I read this story. You and Reggie White used to just pop into churches. Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, what was that like?
Shocking. We would go in and just sit in the back and just, because he's so big.
Yeah, Reggie. Yeah.
And we never wanted our teammates, because they wouldn't have wanted to come, but we didn't even want them to know what we were doing. But we would find out, like some churches go on Tuesdays, maybe a Friday, and we'd find it out. And this is a long time ago. There was no internet or nothing like that, or you could just like Google a place. But we would find out through people in the community. And sometimes, like if we played a noon game, it would be churches would move their service back. So I think we had just beat I think the Vikings or somebody. They really said, I got a church for us in the area. I said, okay. And we sit in the back. And the pastor is preaching. He said, I think that's Reggie. So they would always see him first.
Yeah, right.
That's not Reggie White. So he going on. And then when they passed the offering, we put like a bunch of money in. And then they would say, who put this money in? And eventually people start turning around. That's Leroy Butler. That's Reggie White. This is awesome. And we used to go up to Milwaukee, mm-hmm, and just sit in a church and just, we didn't even know if it was Catholic, non-denomination, Christian. We just, church is church to us.
Yeah.
And just take in the word. And it shocked people. And I wish we could have recorded all of that. Back when social media wasn't around, it would have been nice to do it. But then Reggie said, nah, let's just do it because this is what we want to do.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it was maybe 10 that we've done since he was up there. And every now and then I still kind of do it.
Yeah.
It's because I think it's a platform that I like, as you talk, I like doing things other players may not do.
Yeah.
And not many guys are going to do that. So it was fun.
What influence did Reggie White have on you as a player and as a person?
Well, leadership, because I didn't know how to lead. But I remember my mom saying this, and it was a great connection. My mom said, be a leader, not a follower. But if you're going to follow, choose the right leader. Ah. And that was so impactful to me. I said, Mom, that's just too deep. I'm only like 8. But she was basically telling me, don't go out there trying to get friends with criminals. And next thing you know, you're in jail. So when Reggie walked through that door, I felt the leadership. So when he left, I knew how to lead the team. And you lead it by owning off the field, and you lead it by letting your teammate know how much you love them. Mm-hmm. You know, when you come in that locker room, whatever your problems are, we can help you fix it. Because guys play better when they have a clear mind, the mental health part of it. I don't have to worry about my wife having a baby, my son's bar mitzvah, or my daughter goes to, you know, somewhere to Chuck E. Cheese. Or we'll fix all that. You just go play. And that's what I learned from Reggie. And it really helped us become, because it was a losing culture, like the 70s and 80s. So when you got in the 90s, I just learned a lot from him.
Yeah. And you mentioned this with Charles Woodson. He called you Roy Lee, which was your nickname. And then the last time you mentioned, who else had a nickname?
On our team?
Yeah, on your team. Who was Duck? Was it Andre?
Oh, Antonio Freeman.
Oh, is that Antonio Freeman? Yeah. What was his nickname?
Quack man. Don't he run? He looked like a duck.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember the guys, Tim McDonald and Merton Hanks. Roy Lee, they told us this guy in the book they give you all the 40 time. They said this guy's 4'6", 4'7". I said, man, Quack man, run as fast as whatever to get away from y'all. They had guys like 4'3", couldn't catch him.
Yeah.
And so I said, man, Quack man, the truth, you better quit reading that stuff and get back up, you know? So yeah, man, Free was awesome. He was awesome. Fast. Yeah. Football speed. Yeah.
But had a bit of a duck.
Yeah, he kind of like, fought like a duck. Yeah, we call him Quack man. When he walk in the locker room, whack, 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 whack. He just do like this. Buddy, we had so much fun, man.
Yeah.
26 years. You know, winning the Super Bowl and staying together, it was awesome, man. It was awesome.
Anyone else have nicknames? Did Reggie have a nickname?
We used to call Brett Crew from the Burt Reynolds and the movie when he was in jail. And we said, you know, Crew, there's Crew. You know, like, that was Burt Reynolds when he was, you know, when they had that movie and when he was in jail. I think Ray Niskey was in that movie too. So we had like a lot of Dorsey.
What was this?
We used to call him the horse because every time he would score, he would like do his foot like this. I said, dude, you do it like you're a horse. What is going on? So we call him horse. And then we would make these sound like a horse. It's like 15 guys and all these names, and they had a sound attached to it. And I think it really annoyed Coach Holmgren, though. It sounded like we're in a jungle. And he was like, man, what are all these noises? I said, just the guy's nickname. And then eventually he said, okay. But it was funny. It was just so funny.
How about Gilbert? Did he have a nickname?
Oh, the Gravedigger.
Gravedigger. Yeah, that was his nickname. Yeah. Got it.
Because he would like sit there. He was my locker mate.
Yeah.
He would sit there and be very quiet and just be watching like a grave digger probably would, right?
That's where he got it. So did the nickname come first and then the shovel?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it was simultaneously, because when he got it sacked, he was like, I'm digging their grave.
Yeah.
And then that name just stuck.
Yeah.
He came up with it. And that's what we would call him. And when we were introduced to defense, he would walk because he had a mask on that.
The visor. The black visor. Yeah.
He wouldn't run out. And like, he would walk. And it was like, whoa, dude, it's just a game. Calm down. Yeah. That guy was awesome, man. The only reason why I'm wearing this hat is because of him and Santana. They would not let linemen get to me. No, there's no way. There's no way a lineman was going to block. So they were very unselfish up front. And Gilbert used to tie up two guys – I remember Kevin Gogan, he's 6'6", like 360. I kind of went under him and tackled Emmitt Smith in the backfield. He got up yelling and cursing at me. And I'm just whooping back at him, but I'm selling those whoop tickets. I walk behind Gilbert Brown and say, yeah, now what? He just turned and went to the huddle. I said, yeah, that's my boy. And Gilbert was like, Nicki Minaj, we got a problem here? I mean, I love that song by Nicki, but yeah, do we have a problem? I mean, no, just that guy, man, 36, this. And this Gilbert's standing there. Like, I mean, he had these massive arms.
Yeah.
That guy was awesome, man. Was awesome.
Yeah. Any other nicknames that you can remember?
Let's see here. Some of them I can't tell.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't know. We could, you know, make it canceled.
Yeah.
There was no cancel culture back then. No, I'm kidding. We had quite a few. Some of them are kind of weird.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll.
Because how they got the nickname, you don't want to know that.
Yeah. Part. Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that then.
Yeah.
Before we get to some fan questions, I just want to talk briefly about diversity in the NFL, specifically in the upper echelons of the coaching staff and sort of the ownership and all of that. What are your thoughts on that as it is currently in the NFL, and where can the NFL improve?
Well, here's what I would say to that. To me, I'm more worried about a African-American young lady being on the Supreme Court than this, because that would be impactful and be permanent.
Yeah.
Having a African-American coach, which I played with Ray Rhodes, and he got a chance to do it for 1 year, then he got another chance. When they came out with the Rooney Rule, I thought it was insulting, because I said, they're never going to take a think about it. You got 31 owners. 32, because the Packers don't have an owner, but they have a board, and it's Murphy. Those guys, now think about it. You got these white guys who got all this money. They probably never had a position where African-American gave them a job. So they may not know the impact of letting African-American be a head coach. They may be saying, you know what, this is as far as it goes. And some of the owners probably won't even, they don't really think about it. They just want the best guy that the group tells them that they want. But the Rooney Rule said, if you interview these guys and sign them, we'll give you a draft pick. I knew it wasn't going to work. It wasn't. Right. It wasn't going to work, Charlie, because you're basically telling the team what to do. In any business, I don't tell you what to do. Just don't lie to me in my face or be condescending in my face. Saying all that stuff, it ain't going to happen. So I bought it. Hey, do what y'all want to do. But I concentrate on African-American coordinators, assistant coaches. Eventually, it'll be an African-American ownership. There's a young man, I think his name Bob Johnson, I think. I'm not sure. But he may buy the Broncos. He may buy it. I don't think that's going to happen. If it does happen, I'd be happy. Sometimes it's certain things ain't going to change. It's just not. Because everything, when you're stuck in your way, you're not going to change. You just think that African-Americans can only do certain things. And I'll take it further. Even if you get an African-American GM, they don't hire an African-American head coach because they can't. I don't know if the owners tell them not to do it, but they don't. Because if I'm a GM and I got all the power to hire the coach and set the roster, if it's an African-American, I think it's qualified, I'm a hiring. You know, even under the Rooney Rule, when you do that, you get benefits. But if they won't even do it, I mean, not even interview, but to interview a guy knowing that you're not going to hire him, that's insulting. Mm-hmm. It really isn't. And I think, and Roger Goodell is a good guy. I mean, I met him a bunch of times. He works with a lot of African-Americans and minorities. Because then one day I want to see a young lady be a head coach. But it's like all these people are waiting in line for opportunities, and sometimes you just got to work your way up, like Brian Flores did, won 8 out of 9 games and still get fired.
Right.
That's just crazy.
What do you think is behind the fact that, because you look at the NFL, it's what, it's 60-70% people of color, maybe even more. And yet you look at the head coaches and it's, you know, maybe, I don't know, 10% people of color.
Not even.
Yeah, not even. Yeah. So
right. I would flip it the other way, Charlie. What if it was a league, it was 70% white guys and all the coaches were black? I would say, wait a minute, why don't we have some white coaches? I mean, what's wrong here? I mean, or minorities. Whatever way you look at it, you would think, you know, you want America to kind of be together, but sometimes hard because when you have the minority of people, but we can all get along. But when you are in position of power, and my mom used to say, power is dangerous if you don't do it the right way. Give somebody an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see it ever. You're going to ever see more than three or four. If you ever see five African-American coaches at one time, it may be, me and you may not be here. Our kids will see it, but we won't.
So you don't have a recommended solution for this. You just think it's going to be what's going to happen until sort of the next generation pushes it forward.
I would recommend getting rid of the Rooney Rule. Just get rid of that. Cause that makes it worse. Cause it's almost like you're trying to make them do right. Let people organically do it right. Cause I think most African-Americans are thinking, I want to get this job cause I'm qualified.
Right.
And you know, white guys get a job, they get fired in 2 years. So let a black guy get fired in 2 years,
right.
But hire the guy that's qualified. And I think it's always a recommendation. Somebody's sitting somewhere and say, let me recommend this guy. So you got to get the recommenders to understand to the owner. If they go to the owner and say, you need to hire this guy, he can probably get you a Super Bowl. But the recommenders that got, they're like, nah, we want this particular guy. He got to be young. He got to be a white guy. He got to be a play caller. Well, that cuts out all the white defensive coaches that can get a job. So the recommenders got this one person they look at to get these jobs. When you say head coach, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking change. They do all the social changes, but when they go up, the more you go up, ain't no social change. Mm-hmm. Because those people ain't never had to deal with poverty and you know, trying to make changes. They never had to deal with it. So every time I hear about it, I just roll my eyes, you know, like they're not going to do anything about that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's, that's unfortunate that's, you know, kind of the takeaway currently, but I guess hopefully the next generation can do something more about that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well put.
Let's get to some fan questions. I went on Twitter and I said you were coming on. And I got a bunch of questions for you.
It's not Uncle John, is it?
I don't know. I haven't updated it in a second. He might be on there. This is from Robin Adams. She says, from one parent to a child on the spectrum to another, what's the most rewarding part of being a parent?
Oof. Like, little Roy is on the spectrum of autism. And when he said a complete paragraph, it's like the Super Bowl. It's just every day, a new word, a new gesture is the Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, Dad, I want steak well done like you, Hall of Fame. And that's how parents got to look at it, because you reward success. And he's tall, too. He's like, tallest in his class. And I just tell parents, don't give up. Don't think you're the only one with a special need son or a only one with a daughter that's valedictorian, or your daughter is a tennis player, or your son's a diver, whatever your kids do, other parents going through the same thing, put all that energy into your kids and you'll see the rewards, because it's nothing like looking up and stand seeing your parents or your family before you're about to play. Like if you would stand up, you will really stick your chest out if you see me and your dad and your mom and your family on the front row say, let's go, Charlie. You go, oh, boy. Parents got to do that every day. every day, because that's where we get our energy from, our parents. So yeah, if you can do that, her name Robin.
Yeah, Robin.
Yeah, every day, Robin, it's a game. So I want you to be in that cheering section for your kids. And you'll see them start to change and become this great person. And it's because of you.
That's awesome. Those are incredible words. Joe says, where can I get a jersey in Alaska? There aren't enough of them. I don't know if you know Alaskan jerseys, but maybe we'll send Joe a package or something. Maybe we'll send him a jersey or something. And then we got to figure out where the Packers pro shop is in Alaska for Joe. So they got to get something there. Oh, here's a good one. This is from Charlie Weber. How did you balance the skills needed to be good in rushing the passer, playing the ball, and being a solid tackler? Is it different training or learning from others with those skill sets?
Great question. I never wanted to be a hitter, because if you run in there and flying in hitting a guy, first the guy will bounce off of you. I had a conversation with Barry Sanders about that. And he said the hardest thing was getting away from people like me to just tackle him. I wasn't looking for style points. I wasn't trying to knock him out. He said he went around those guys, but I would break down, square him up, and just grab cloth and get him down. He said those guys, he hated playing, the people like me. So I thought about one day, I say, if I'm going to play a long time in this league, I got to just wrap up for dear life and hope my teammates come help me, but just get a guy down. All the tight ends were bigger than me. And then I would work on my deficiencies. I couldn't catch. My hands are terrible. I don't even know why God gave me hands. I can't use them. But I would just catch a lot of passes. And then I would say, what else am I not good at? I would go down to the our media department. Give me a tape of all my missed tackles. Give me a tape of all my drop picks. And I would study them. And then I would take that to practice. And people can see my improvement. Are all my deficiencies. The things I were good at, I still worked on them, but I did those last. It was always my deficiencies that I wanted to improve.
Got it. And when you had this conversation with Barry Sanders, was it when he was still playing?
No, it was just last week when we were at the Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
We was at the NFL Honors backstage because, you know, I used to play him all the time.
Yeah.
When we saw each other, we just kind of gravitated and started talking. And the guy says, hey, what's it like? Some producer, what's it like tackling Barry Sanders? I said, first of all, I don't know because I always miss. But if you could think about having a bar of soap in a bathtub and you're looking for it and you grab it and it's gone. He laughed. He thought it was funny.
We've got a couple more. Okay, so Rickson, that's his name on the deal. He says, ask him about the Chain of Lakes in Waupaca. Do you know anything about the Chain of Lakes in Waupaca?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get up there?
Them lakes got some good fish now.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you know somebody that lived down there.
Yeah.
And you know how I am about walleye. I'm a walleye champion.
I know.
Love walleye.
Yeah.
So I used to have a dealership in Waupaca. And every now and then a customer would come by. I give him a big discount on F-150. And he said, hey, I'll take you fishing. And I didn't know they had these great lakes down there, man. Some good fishing down there. And the people, they live right on the lake. And it's a great community. And today, everybody knows I only like walleye. So it's a certain lake has walleye. Certain lakes just have other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even say the fish's name. It's just other stuff.
It's walleye and other stuff.
Yeah, either walleye or nothing. Oh, it's a bass. Throw it back. Wait, we eat that. Oh, no, we can't. Yeah, I used to enjoy that. I enjoy having my dealership up there.
Nice. Cheese curds, deep fried or squeaky?
Deep fried, cuz.
Deep fried. Okay, got you.
I'm from the South.
Yeah, I know.
We fry everything.
and here's that was Ben Nihas who said that. I don't think that's how you pronounce his last name, but close enough. And then, this is an interesting one. Can you ask him for some random dishing on his early career teammate, the Magic Man? So for instance, what did you think of the cowboy boot ads Sweeney's of Manitowoc? And he wants to know if that's too random. So you remember that?
Well, Mikowski was cool, man. He was like the Fonz and Arnold Schwarzenegger combined. The guy was cool, man. He had that mullet like Joe Dirt. You seen Joe Dirt?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was blonde. I love Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
It was blonde mullet. He wore these shades in the locker room, by the way. And he walked real slow, like I'm the Magic Man. And he had put this little white towel in front of his uniform. And the guy was cool, man. He was cool. He was very, very cool. And we used to call him Slick. And he was just, I mean, the guys in the mirror, man, you know, we shaving because we had this big mirror.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, big mirror by standing in the mirror, shaving, putting gel in your hair. And then when Magic walks in, everybody stops to look at him like, oh, Magic. Yeah, man, he's Slick. Magic was cool. He talk over just above a whisper. What's up, guys? I say, that's creepy. Yeah, like we do. What's up? He's like, what's up? He was awesome, man. Even when Brett Favre came in, he was still cool.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't like real weirded out because they traded for Brett. He was cool with it. He was fine.
Yeah, nice.
I love Magic. Great.
Nice. Let's see here. Craziest thing. How was L.A.? What was that whole experience like? The Hollywood Ooh. Experience for the Hall of Fame.
Well, next time I go, you got to go with me because I've never been around this many famous people and you can help navigate me. But I was like standing next to people and they were all over me because I was in the Hall of Fame. And it's like Issa Rae, I look up to her because she's an amazing director, producer
yeah.
from Insecure.
Yeah, incredible.
And I saw her backstage. I saw Cedric the Entertainer. And I said, you know what? In Hollywood, everybody out here famous. And it's almost like you see paparazzi everywhere chasing people around. And, you know, the weather was fantastic, so my wife loved it. But when you see so many people, to know you, and I have people come up to me, it's like, Leroy, wait a minute, you don't fit. You're too modest. You got to be like, Hall of Fame. I said, that's not me. And they said, but you're funny. We like that, but... You gotta act like a celebrity. I say, what? How do you do that? So it was a lot of, I mean, you name it, entertainer. I mean, from J Lo, I mean, Ben Affleck, I mean, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eminem. You just see these people like at a restaurant, like there's, but they're doing that to me. There's Leroy Butler. He just got it. And it's like their crew wants to take pictures with you, you know? It's
yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm such and such producer. Can I get a picture of my son? I said, what? Okay. And do you do it? And you, oh, that was like Grammy award winning artist, this person or this person. And it was cool. But I think for the most part, for me, I was like, I don't think I can go somewhere and have like 50 security guards.
Yeah.
Like go out and hang out, you yeah. know, just me and my wife. But out there, you can't. You got to be, you know, be a certain class of people. And that sometimes that's kind of it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think we all should be on the same level.
Right. Yeah. But the celebrity thing gets a little goofy. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It does. It's like you're so full of yourself. Calm down.
Yeah.
But they're used to people coming after them, so they're used to it.
What did you think of that halftime show? Did you enjoy it? I mean, that's like your era too. When you were when you were coming up.
Yes.
Football.
That was it.
Early 90s. I mean, that was it.
It was great. I mean, I wanted to. I mean, Eminem is one of my top five rappers of all time.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg is like on my list as well. But Kendrick Lamar and then Mary J. Blige, my wife, I mean, Mary J. Blige is everything to R&B, and to see her that close, you know, it was great. And Dr. Dre, of course, all those guys, they were great, man. It was great. Just the production, all the people changing and SoFi Stadium, platinum.
Yeah.
I mean, just the sound system. It's just, it was great. It was great because you're right. Every song they sang was like in my DNA. And it was probably one of the best.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson and Prince, those are some good half times. Beyonce was great, but this one was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was awesome. Yeah, I saw this one tweet of people saying, boy, it's nice that the NFL is finally, you know, not having some like artist for a bunch of old people at the halftime. Wait, I'm the old person now. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, but 50 Cent, when I saw 50 Cent, I got goosebumps. I love 50 Cent. Because I didn't know he was going to be there.
Yeah, that was a surprise ad.
Yeah, I said, hey, that's 50. It was awesome.
That's cool. Anything else, man, before we wrap up? You got that Leap Vodka back there. Yeah. We got to let people know where they can get that. And I will vouch for the Leap Vodka. It's the vodka that I got in my pantry. And it's fantastic in Bloody Marys. And actually, when we did our tailgate,
yeah,
last Packers game, we were making up those. It was so cold out, but the Leap Vodka, I was keeping people warm.
It'll go down in history because we invited fans.
Yeah, we did. That was fun.
We invited fans. Your Uncle John and his family came out.
That Dad was cooking brats.
It was awesome, man.
Yeah,
it was
good times.
I just like collaborations, and we got a new label coming out soon, a Hall of Fame label. So I just suggest people, you can go to any Pick and Save and pick up some. I'm going to be signing tons of them at Pick and Save in the next, next month. But you can just go to LeroyButlerInc.com for more information or go to pickandsave.com. And then I want to, since my daughter, Sierra, loved Jolly Good great.
Oh, she's a fan of Jolly Good Grape.
What? She'll drink more than they can make it. What? I don't know. She like, I said, what about strawberry? Nope, she liked that. So I like collaborations like that, of course. But yeah, so thank you to the fans. The fans are great.
Well, they absolutely are. And for your daughter, we're going to get some Jolly Good Grape sent over.
Oh, my God.
Sent over. Yeah. You get me that address. We'll get that case sent over.
She's not crying like she made the Hall of Fame. It's just Jolly Good Grape, right?
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, hey, thanks so much for doing this. And we'll be doing more videos soon. I've got every time we do a video, I get so much. The fans love it. And so we'll be doing more of those soon. I'm looking forward to that. And it's great talking to you as always, man.
Well, tell Max to get ready.
I will.
I gotta teach you how to do a fish fry.
Yeah, I know.
You'll be doing that.
That's happening. I'm excited, man.
Thanks a lot, bro.
All right, we'll talk soon, man. Thank you. A huge thanks to Leroy again for coming on the podcast. Make sure you follow him on Facebook. It's just his name, Leroy Butler. Follow at Leap36 on Twitter. Follow at Leap3636 on IG. That's his Instagram. And of course, follow the Cripescast at Cripescast, all social media platforms, Cripescast.com. If you're looking for merch, if you're looking for tour dates, and hope to see all of you on the road. All right. Until next week, keep her moving. Watch out for deer. Tell your folks I says hi. Bye-bye.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.